the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Aside from our coming together to keep this Lord's Day, the weekly Lord's Day, and aside from our preparing for the feast this Tuesday of the elevation of the precious and life-giving cross, we come together this Lord's Day for another reason, an additional reason. And that is to honor a man of God. Father Aaron, who has served this community so admirably, who has brought back to this holy temple so many sons and daughters of this parish family, some of whom had wandered away, some of whom were lost. And in addition to being the good shepherd who went out and brought them back, and that's many of you here and many of your family members, Father Aaron has also led to the safe pastures of Holy Orthodoxy many who came as visitors or inquirers, people tired and weary, people confused by various theological dialogues which go on in this crazy world, offering them the pure water of Holy Orthodoxy and leading them into the Holy Orthodox Church. And again, that includes many of you. In the prayer which we offered, whereby he was elevated to the rank and dignity of archpriest, first among priests, a high priest, if you will, we ask our Lord to set him at the head of priests, many of whom are younger than he, that he might be a good example to all of those who are under him, most especially the younger priests, but all clergy, the deacons, the altar servers, all those who stand about the holy table, offering your prayers and our prayers to the thrice holy God, that he would be a good example. For a married priest, this is the highest dignity and honor that can be bestowed. And the symbol of that dignity and honor of being an archpriest is that he now has the privilege, if you will, of wearing a gold pectoral cross. And a jeweled pectoral cross. It's odd that in this day, there are millions of our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in the faith, throughout the world, who suffer for this symbol. Whose lives are threatened simply because they wear around their necks a cross. Who can lose their lives simply for entering a building that is surmounted by a cross. Yet that is what we gave Father Aaron today. We see it as an honor to wear this symbol of our God's love for us. And if it means dying to wear this, if it means dying for upholding it, if it means dying for blessing ourselves with it, let it be. God keep that kind of judgment far from our nation. although this is already in our nation, a symbol that is mocked, a symbol that is submitted to shame by non-believers, a sign that intimidates many of us who are believers from making that sign of the cross in public. If we pray when we're in public, we might do so without making the sign of the cross so that we don't bring attention to ourselves. Can you imagine? So that we're not embarrassed by people looking at us as we make the sign of the cross. Can you imagine? If that's you, stop it. This is our pride. This is our joy. This is the symbol of God's love for you and for me. A symbol of love is not a heart with a naked little cherub holding it, an arrow going through it. That's not a symbol of love. This is the symbol of God, love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what this cross bought for you and for me. Let it be our pride and our joy. Let every action you take, every thought you take, be blessed by the sign of the cross. Those of you who were raised in the church can certainly remember your grandparents, most especially, I'm sure, your grandmother, as it was mine, making the sign of the cross, it seemed, with every breath she took. My grandmother didn't open the Venetian blinds to let in the morning sun before she made the sign of the cross at each window. No child went out the door to school or to shop or to play without Sutu making the sign of the cross over them. No food went on the table that she didn't cook by making the sign of the cross, and I'm sure all of you have seen this. She even put the sign of the cross on the food itself, inscribing it into the kibbeh, inscribing it into the rice. The cross defined their life. They were a generation that fled persecution because of their Christian faith. They knew the value and the worth of that cross. We, their descendants, have become complacent. But this holy feast that comes on Tuesday, and which is preceded by this morning's beautiful epistle and gospel, reminds us of the value of the cross. What it symbolizes, God's love for us. Love so great that he gave his only begotten Son to die on that cross for us. To die for our sins, so that we don't have to die for our sins. To open up paradise for us. The cross is a key. It's a key to paradise, and it's a key to the gates of the kingdom of heaven. May we always honor it, love it, be proud of it, display it, kiss it, and never, ever, ever be ashamed of it. As I said, our fellow Christians in many parts of the world are paying at this very moment because they wear or make the cross by their very lives. We honored Father Aaron by giving him a cross. It's a gift from you, his flock. And each stone on that cross symbolizes each of you. And while it is adorned and made beautiful by those stones, it is also made heavy. The cross is a heavy burden. Our Savior, you know, fell beneath the weight of his own cross. Each of us, from time to time, falls beneath the weight of the cross which hath been given to us. And Father Aaron, as a good shepherd, as a priest of the Most High, bears a very heavy cross. Responsibility for your souls. When that great and last day comes, when the trumpets sound and our Savior returns again to this earth, accompanied by his holy angels and archangels, and sits upon his glorious throne to judge all flesh. Each of us will be called to come and stand before that judgment seat, and no, you can't escape it. You'll go. I will go to answer for our sins. The sins we haven't yet confessed, so run to confession. Confess those sins. Then they're wiped away. You should have no fear then of going before the judgment seat. And we'll only be asked to give account for our own sins. Parents, you can relax. You won't be asked to give answer for your children. Husbands, you won't be asked to give answer for your wives. Wives, for your husbands. It doesn't work like that. Each individual will be asked to make answer for his or her own sins, the unconfessed sins. But there's a category of people who will be asked for sins beyond their own. And that is our priests. Father Aaron will be asked, certainly, to make answer for his own sins. But then he will be asked about you and your sins. Our Savior could say to Father Aaron, "How about Sophie? She was a member of your parish, and she drifted away. And she's lost. You're responsible for her soul. And John, and Thomas, and Wadia, and so many others priests have to give answer for. Did you teach them that what they were doing was wrong? How about that parishioner of yours that had an abortion? Did you ever tell her before that that's murder? How about the husband that abused his wife? Did you ever talk to him about that great sin?" You see, priests have a greater burden to bear at the judgment seat. And it's to make answer for your unconfessed sins. So this day, when we honor this wonderful gift of God to this parish, there are gifts to be given. I know many of you will give him gifts this day or this coming week in honor of his elevation to the holy priesthood. Boxes with ribbons or cards with something on the inside. That's well and good. And it should happen. But there is a most precious gift that each of you not only can give, but should give. If you say you love Father Aaron, if you say that you are grateful to God for Father Aaron coming to this parish, if you are thankful to him and his family for all they have done for you and your family, all those good things you want to say about him, there's a gift you can give that will prove it. That is that you determine to live holy lives. Don't let his preaching be in vain. I've heard his homilies. They're wonderful. He holds back nothing. He teaches you clearly the pathway to the kingdom. Don't let that be in vain. Your greatest gift to him can be that he need not make answer for you at the dread judgment seat. Take away from him that great burden of having to make answer for you, your sins. If you sin, and we're all going to sin, confess the sin, repent of the sin, make spotless again your baptismal garment. Lead a holy life, a life well-pleasing to God. If not for your own salvation, if you don't care about your own soul, which is foolishness, but if you don't care about his soul, give him that gift of a parishioner who lives a Christ-like life. That will be the greatest gift you can give him, more precious to him even than the cross which you presented to him this morning. You then can be, for him, that for which we all pray at every divine service, at Orthros, at Vespers, at liturgy, a good defense at the fearful judgment seat of Christ. You can be his good defense. If our Savior, God forbid, should say to Father Aaron, I recall all of your sins. And really, if we have to weigh them, I'm not sure you'll get into the kingdom. Father Aaron can always say, but, sweet Jesus, remember Nadia. Remember her. I taught her. I preached to her. I communed her. I confessed her. Remember Michael. Remember all those people that I did good things for, those people who are being saved by you because of what I taught them. You see how you can become a good defense for Father Aaron. And our Savior says, okay, maybe not for yourself you're going to be saved, but you helped me save so many others. You were a good preacher, a good teacher, a good shepherd. And for that reason, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Make that your gift for him. You can't put it in a box. You can't wrap it in pretty paper or put bows on it or even attach a card. But that will be the best gift. I'm entreating each of you to seriously give him that gift beginning this day. To our good God, who is the great high priest, who allows sinful and weak human beings, men like Father Aaron, Father John, Father Jason, Bishop Basil, and so many others in so many generations, to share in his priesthood. To our sweet Savior Jesus be glory and might and thanksgiving. And to his unoriginate Father and the all-holy Spirit, that one God in three persons, be our loud hymns of thanksgiving now and to all ages. Amen. Father Aaron is worthy. He is worthy.